All right, we're going to jump into our series this morning entitled Monsters in the Closet. This is going to be our week three of our series. Over the last several weeks, we've been kind of looking at these items or these things that can confront us and kind of keep us from growing spiritually and kind of can keep us from moving forward in our spiritual lives. Week one, we talked about loneliness and how loneliness can be such an unbelievable thing in our hearts and our lives that can really keep us from moving forward. Last week, we talked about a big one for a lot of people, and it's kind of funny. I had so many if you walk up to me during the week or during prayer time on Wednesday or whatever, or even from phone calls and said, I'm not worrying. And I thought, that's good. That's awesome. But we talked about worry last week and how worry can be so crippling in our heart and in our lives. And today we're going to start another monster that can kind of creep in, that can cause a lot of problems in our lives. And that is the monster of misunderstanding. The monster of misunderstanding. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we do love you and thank you for this day and this time. God, we pray that you would just give us wisdom as we look at these things, open our hearts to your Holy Spirit so that we can hear what you desire to communicate to each of us. Father, I do believe that there's some healing that you want to do this morning. God, I believe there's some freedom that you want to bring this morning. And Father, I don't want any of us to miss out on what you have in store for us. So God, open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Misunderstanding can really, if we're not careful, really make a mess out of life. Let me kind of give you an example or kind of give you a story that kind of will help make sense of this or kind of illustrate this point. Now, here's what's funny about this story. Although some of the names have been changed and some of the certain circumstances have changed, this story actually does have a little bit of truth in it for me and my family. So let me kind of give you a story, though, to kind of help you understand this. Maybe a parable, as it were. Let's say that you are in your neighborhood today. Maybe you're outside. It's supposed to be pretty nice today. So you're outside maybe tending to the garden or getting it ready for the winter or mowing the lawn or whatever else. And one of your neighbors who you've lived next to for maybe 5 or 6 years comes up to you all excited. And they say, hey, I got some great news. What's that? My daughter is getting married. And you go, oh, that's awesome. That's great. And listen, we want you and your wife and your family, we invite you to the wedding. We're going to have a wedding. We're going to have a reception. It's going to be awesome. And maybe if you're like me at that point, even though I usually am a part of weddings, meaning I'm officiating them, weddings are not always my favorite thing to go to. Don't throw rocks at me. I happen to be a guy. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, maybe you love weddings. To me, it's like, you know, it's maybe professional conflict, you know, but I'm sitting there going, you know, I don't know if I would have done it that way. Anyway, so you get invited to this wedding and you go, okay, so it's going to be great. We're going to have a wedding. We're going to have a reception, a great meal. It's going to be awesome. And you go, okay, yeah, that's great. We'll be there. Everything will be fine. Well, a couple days later, that same neighbor walks up to you, maybe a little sheepish, and says, you know, listen, I am so sorry. I'm so embarrassed. But we have been kind of putting the plans together for the wedding, and actually we found out that the wedding venue can only hold 100 people. I am so sorry, but, you know, we kind of need to make sure that, you know, even though you've been great neighbors, you know, the family and things like that, and you kind of go, don't worry, I understand, and inside you're like, oh, thank goodness, my Saturday's not ruined. Okay. Okay, so that's the situation. So you're okay, though, no worries. You know, you're very gracious. Don't worry about it, it'll be fine. So time passes, you know, obviously take a little time to plan the wedding. So the wedding basically comes and goes, and you don't think too much about it other than, you know that they're married now and so on and so forth. Well, a couple weeks later, maybe you're out walking the dog, and you kind of walk past, and that neighbor is in their front yard, and maybe they're pulling weeds or they're doing something, and you kind of, hey, neighbor, how you doing? How's everything? And boy, you get the coldest shoulder you've ever seen in your life. And you're like, what was that all about? And you kind of, oh, maybe they just had a bad day, maybe, you know, whatever, and so you don't even worry about it, and then a couple days later, it happens again. And you're just going, what is going on here? What is the deal? And so you're kind of, a couple days later, you're walking around. Well, then you see another neighbor. And this is usually how it works, you know, basically kind of through the grapevine. And you kind of say, you know, I was walking past the neighbor's house over here, and boy, they just seemed kind of mean and kind of rude and kind of, you know, what's going on? And the neighbor you're talking to goes, well, you know, there's kind of a reason for that. And you go, what? What do you mean? My kids don't have a drum set. What could possibly be wrong with this situation? And the neighbor tells you, he says, well, you didn't show up to the wedding. And you go, wait a minute. What do you mean I didn't show up to the wedding? They told me, yeah, they invited me, but then they kind of took the invitation away because they didn't have enough room. And she goes, well, didn't they do the same to you? And she says, well, yeah, I went to the reception. And then all of a sudden you start to think, well, wait a minute, what do you mean? And she goes, well, I talked to them and they were very upset. They, you know, paid for your meal and did all these things. They didn't have room at the wedding, but they had plenty of room at the reception. And you didn't show up. Misunderstanding. And I know maybe some of you maybe saw where this was going. Maybe some of you have done this recently or whatever. But I'm promising you there is most of guys that are sitting here going, I had no idea that was different. I remember when Emily and I got married, that was a challenge for us. Now, we had it flipped, you know, as a youth pastor at a church. Of course, everybody wanted to come and be a part of that. But we basically said, hey, if you want to come to the church and you want to come to the wedding, knock yourself out. But we had a certain amount of number of seats that we could have at the reception. And I remember there were some people got a little upset with us because they weren't invited. In a lot of ways, that's kind of what we're talking about. Misunderstanding, things that come into our hearts and to our lives that can really cause some massive destruction. And here's the deal, we don't think about that very often. We kind of think about some of the bigger things, but if you stop and think about your life, stop and think about my life, it's amazing how much damage has been done just due to simple misunderstandings. Now, thankfully, the Bible is full of people who experienced misunderstandings and things like that. Let me give you a couple examples. David was one that totally experienced misunderstandings. So think about this for a second. David goes, obviously, Saul is king at this particular time, and David is out tending the sheep. He's minding his own business. Samuel shows up and says, I'm here to anoint the next king of Israel. David doesn't even get invited to the party. And he basically finally comes, he's anointed, he goes, he fights Goliath. All these things start to happen. And basically Saul, of course, as you know most of these stories, becomes very jealous, tries to kill David. David's like, man, what am I doing? I'm not doing anything wrong. I was just a shepherd boy. I just happened to be bringing lunch to my brothers. And there was a mouthy giant that I had to take care of. What do you want from me? Another one, Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph? Now here's the deal. None of these people necessarily, except one that we'll get to in a minute, handled all the situations perfectly. But Joseph basically starts having some dreams. And he goes to his brothers and his mom and dad. He begins to share these dreams. Hey, I had this dream about this. I had this dream about that. And it caused such misunderstanding and such problems in his family that Joseph finds himself in a pit, eventually being sold into slavery into Egypt. Paul obviously was a guy that was persecuting the church. He was rounding up Christians to have them killed and put into prison and all these things. God does an amazing work. Jesus shows up on the road to Damascus and does an amazing Damascus. Speaks to him, does an amazing thing. You know what Paul spends a lot of his ministry doing, if you read some of his letters? Defending who he is now versus what he and the things he did before. Misunderstandings. And one of the greatest is, of course, Jesus. When you think about Jesus, his life and his ministry, man, people were constantly misunderstanding him, some of which was his own disciples that walked with him. They didn't understand sometimes his mission, and all these things can come together and really kind of cause some misunderstandings that can do a lot of damage in our hearts and in our lives. And I believe that through this message, through what God is sharing, that we can kind of pull this monster out of misunderstandings and try to deal with it so that we can get some healing and some freedom. Because I truly believe there are some of us here and online that have been dealing with some form of misunderstanding for a very long time. And God is saying, listen, that's a monster in your closet we're going to confront today. We're going to deal with it because I want to bring some healing and some restoration in these areas if you will let him. But just like these individuals in Joshua 22, we actually see a really interesting story. And in this story, we find several realities regarding being misunderstood. Now, maybe you've heard this story before, maybe you haven't. I'm gonna guess that most of us haven't. So I'm kind of excited to share maybe a story that maybe you haven't heard before, but it is a story that's very interesting and shows some misunderstandings that take place and some realities that can come from it. Now, before we jump into Joshua 22, let me give you a little context for what's going on, okay? In Joshua 22, the children of Israel, those that have came out of Egypt, they've died, okay? And basically in Joshua 22, the tribes of Israel are going into the promised land and they're beginning to conquer and beginning to drive out the inhabitants that are there with the Lord's help and beginning to basically settle in the promised land. Now, there are basically 12 tribes and they're getting a specific section or an allotment of land during this time. There are a couple of tribes, actually there's 2.5, basically, we'll see them in a minute, that are basically on the east side of the Jordan River, okay? So they come in and they begin to conquer those lands. As that happens, they basically kind of start to set up camp. They're kind of like, okay, we're here, we're home, we're gonna start staying here. Well, the other tribes basically go to them and say, hey, listen, we need to go over here to the west side and conquer this land too. You need to come help us. Well, here's the deal. Those tribes could have said, no, we're not doing that. We're here, we're happy, we're where we need to be. We're gonna just chill here for a while and you can take care of it on your own. They don't. They go across the river and they help conquer those lands as well. Okay, so as this is kind of the setting of what's happening, and then now as we jump into Joshua 22, they're getting ready to basically go back home. Okay, make sense? So we understand the concept here, the context of the situation. Now, we have to understand that to kind of understand kind of some of these realities that come from misunderstanding. So the first one we're going to look at is this. Misunderstandings happen to everybody. They happen to everybody. Like if you think that you are going to live a life where you are going to be free of misunderstandings, I'm sorry to tell you, you are sadly mistaken. You could be the best communicator that has ever lived and you will find miscommunications and misunderstandings that come. Mainly because no matter how well you do your part, the person you're communicating to may misunderstand you. They misunderstand your motives. They may misunderstand the context of what you're saying. They may misunderstand the words you're using. There may be lots of reasons for misunderstandings. But one thing you need to understand is it happens to everybody. Now, what's interesting about this is this is one of those things that we need to understand that because it happens to everybody, we are not going to reach a level of spiritual maturity in which this won't happen in our lives. Let me show you here. Look here. Joshua 22, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3, okay? So here's the context. Remember, they've defeated all these things. This is what it says. Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he told them, you have done as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and you have obeyed. Listen, this is great. You have obeyed every order I've given you. During all this time, you've not deserted the other tribes. You have been careful to obey the commands of the Lord your God right up to the present day. Man, if you want to say that about me, it probably wouldn't be true, but I would love that. I mean, these guys were doing the right thing. They were following God's commands. In a lot of ways, they were really exemplary in their relationship with the Lord and their servant's attitude to the Lord. But as you're going to see in a minute, just because they were in a good place spiritually doesn't necessarily guarantee that there's not going to be some miscommunication that happens in their life. And one thing you need to understand about misunderstandings and all these other things is this. Misunderstanding is not a breach of moral character. Okay? Like a lot of us think that at times. You know, we think, oh, you know, there's misunderstandings and this or that and this is the reason why. Listen, misunderstandings happen to us all. It's not necessarily a gauge of your spiritual maturity. Because these things happen. So the first thing you need to understand about this story, and we're going to use really Joshua 22 throughout this entire message, is that it can happen to everyone. Number two, the second reality is misunderstandings lead to relational conflict. Now, let me kind of give you tell you what's going to happen here, because we're going to jump down to basically verse number 11, okay? So basically, I'm going to kind of give you what happens in between there, and then we'll go to the verse that we're going to look at. So basically, as these tribes leave, they cross over the river, okay? Cross over the river. As they cross, or after they cross, they build this basically huge, huge altar. Okay? They build this massive altar on the other side, okay? And it's just this big old thing. It's massive. It's impressive. People can see it from the other side. It's this big, big thing. And so basically, the people on the other side, the nine and a half tribes or eight and a half tribes or whatever it is, look over and see this thing being built. And they're going, my goodness, what are these people doing? And they're watching this thing go up. And they're going, man, this is an altar. This is, and then they start going, wait a minute, this isn't good. This isn't okay. And listen to what happens here in Joshua 22. We're going to pick up the story here in verse number 11. It says, the rest of Israel heard that the people of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had built an altar at Gilead at the edge of the land of Canaan on the west side of the Jordan River. So the whole community of Israel gathered at Shiloh to prepare to go to war against them. I hope that in your life, when there's miscommunication or misunderstanding, that you don't go here. But they did. I want you to think about that. Basically, they're seeing this situation, and where do they go? Conflict, war, destruction. It's interesting how quickly misunderstanding can lead to relational conflict. Now, you got to remember who these people are. They're brothers. They're in the same tribe. I mean, they're basically distant relatives. They had the same great grandpa. These are brothers and sisters. And for me, when I hear the word brothers and sisters in church, I typically don't necessarily always think of my real brother and my real sisters as far as my mom and dad, but I usually think about us. And what's sad about this situation a lot of times is misunderstandings that happen in churches. I remember when I was in college, I went to college in Springfield. And if you don't know, Springfield is basically the headquarters for the Assemblies of God, the denomination of fellowship that we belong to. And so I went to school there. There was a college there, and I went to school there. And one of the things that we were required to do, I know it sounds crazy that we'd have to be required, but it was, we were required to go to church. And every Monday, I had to go to chapel and get a Scantron form. If you don't know what a Scantron form is, it means you're young. And fill out where I went to church. And what was interesting was Springfield is a decent-sized city. Obviously, it's nothing compared to Denver and the metro area or whatever. But I mean, it's probably 100,000 people, 150,000 people. And it was amazing the number of churches that were in Springfield, Missouri, or the surrounding area. And I'm talking like 25, 30. I mean, it was crazy how many. And then I began to study a little bit, because I'm weird like that, to try to figure these things out. And it was amazing and somewhat very, very sad, where I kind of was able to figure out, well, this church was here, and then this church split here, and then these two churches formed, and then this church split here, and then these two churches formed, and this church split here. And it was amazing the amount of conflict and amazing the amount of misunderstanding that must have brought that situation around. You see, one of the things the enemy loves to do is kill, steal, and destroy. And one of the ways he does that is through misunderstanding, and especially misunderstanding at times between families of believers and not just families of individuals who are blood relation. We need to understand that. So they see this. They see this altar going up, and man, they go, man, it is time for conflict. It is time for war. So it happens to everyone. It leads to relational conflict. And number three, misunderstanding leads to personal attack. You see, what's unfortunate about misunderstanding is it doesn't usually stay within the confines of the two people that have the misunderstandings. Typically, what we do, unfortunately, is we kind of basically begin to find people that are going to kind of side with us and kind of get on our side and basically kind of do one of these things where we kind of say, hey, listen, let's me and you come over here and dislike this person together. and it leads to this idea of personal attack. Listen here in Joshua 22, 16 through 18. We're going to jump just a little bit, but in this verse, it's kind of interesting what we see. It says the whole community of the Lord demands to know why you are betraying the God of Israel. How could you turn away from the Lord and build an altar for yourself in rebellion against him? And verse number 18, and yet today you are turning away from following the Lord. If you rebel against the Lord today, he will be angry with all of us tomorrow. We're going to jump in this in just a minute. But basically what happens is as they're plotting war, they do decide, hey, let's send some people over and have a conversation about this. And basically they start name calling. They basically say, man, you're betraying God. You're rebellious. You're this, you're that. You're going to cause all these problems for all of us. And it's sad because in a lot of ways, the conflict of misunderstanding that comes leads itself to some attacks that sometimes can be very damaging and cause a lot of problems throughout our hearts and our lives. Because sometimes those attacks come from people that are very close to us. And it can cause so many issues and so many problems. But we need to understand that this is a real thing. This is a monster that so many of us deal with. But before we jump into some more application and some things to really continue to understand from this story, I want to look at this first. So there are two major factors that can really contribute to misunderstanding. There are two things that you need to be on guard about, to be aware of, that can be a part of this that you need to be really concerned about if you want to make sure that you conquer and deal with the monster of misunderstanding. Number one, poor communication. Poor communication can cause misunderstanding. And I think that that's kind of the obvious one. That's the one that we kind of think about. You know, when you go back to the story of the wedding, the problem there in a lot of ways was not a situation where someone was trying to offend or trying to cause problems. It was communicated poorly. They should have basically said, listen, we can't have you at the wedding, but we would love to have you come to the reception. If that had happened, obviously all of that would have been taken care of. Communication for this situation is a major, major part of that. So with that in mind, will you please, please, please all do me a favor? Don't communicate anything important over email or text or emojis. Please, please. Because what does that do? It just opens the door for miscommunication. Because you don't hear tone, you don't see facial expressions, you don't see nonverbal things that are communicated. And that matters so much. I mean, I don't have any statistics because I don't know of anybody that's basically studied this, but I promise you, I bet my house and everything in it that we have seen more miscommunication since the cell phone age has begun than before. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. We basically said, okay, how can we make communication easier but worse? Don't do it over text, please. Don't do it over email. Schedule, I know for some of us, and this may kind of go along with some ages here, having a conversation with someone face-to-face is a petrifying thing, okay? I get that. Like, you're not used to it. What am I going to say? How am I going to deal with this? Listen, I get it. Because I get it, because a lot of you, what you do now is you write out an email and you edit it 450 times before you hit send, okay? So you feel like you can make sure you can say what you want to say and the way you want to say it, but because that form of communication is so poor, it still kind of can backfire on you. But here's the deal. I have a great promise for you, okay? Do you know God's word tells us that when you don't know what to say, the Spirit will put words in your mouth? And I don't think as I look at that passage, I just simply see when you're talking about Jesus. Listen, if you're having a hard conversation with somebody that God wants to help you bring restoration to, you don't believe that God's Holy Spirit won't speak through you if you yield to him and allow him to do so? I mean, we've forgotten that promise because we get so afraid of having a conversation with someone or it may go south or whatever. Listen, we're going to cause so many more problems if we're not willing to have good communication skills and talk to people. And I would say this for those that are married, okay? For those that have kids, Em and I will do a lot of premarital counseling, and I say this over and over, it drives them crazy. They want to throw things at my head. But I literally, and Em knows exactly what I'm going to say right now. I say, what's the most important thing in real estate? And they'll say, location, 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 right? I'll say, what's the most important thing in a marriage? Communication, communicate, communicate. And then I usually say, and then after you've communicated, communicate some more. And please don't do it through text. And please don't do it through email. So poor communication. Having an issue with sharing those feelings and sharing those things. But that's not all that comes. The second factor that really contributes to this is unmet and unrealistic expectations. Okay? So in this, not maybe it's not necessarily the communicator, it's the person being communicated to, where they have this idea and thought about what it should be or how it should be, and they kind of get this in their mind, and so no matter what you say or how you say it, it kind of goes through that filter of those things. You know, a lot of times when we think about that, that was Jesus's situation in his ministry. Basically, he would share things. I mean, he would literally say to his disciples, I am going to die and rise on the third day. And his disciples still didn't get it. They still didn't understand. Why? Were they dumb? No. They had unrealistic and unmet expectations in their life. They were convinced that Jesus was a different kind of king. Even though everything Jesus did was communicating to them, no, my kingdom is not of this earth. I have something different that I am doing. And so what caused the miscommunication? What caused the misunderstanding? It was the fact that they had this idea in their mind that was so different than what Jesus was actually saying. And here's the thing about Jesus. He was an amazing communicator. So, I mean, listen, if Jesus, hear this. If Jesus in his perfection that communicates these things to people that lived with him for 3 years basically still didn't get it, I don't know if we got a lot of hope here. And yet we want to have difficult conversations over text message. What are we doing? Okay? We need to understand that. We need to understand that when we are hearing what people are sharing, are we putting some expectations on those things that are causing misunderstanding to come? Okay? Like I said, some of this we can handle, some of it we can't. But again, it happens to everybody. So to conclude this morning, to look at these things, let's look at some principles. Let's look at some application that can help us deal with the monster of misunderstanding in our closet. So as we conclude this morning, let's look at four principles to help us deal with this monster of misunderstanding, okay? Because again, we know it's going to happen to everybody. We're going to know it's going to cause some serious conflict. And we know that it is going to be some problems that is ultimately, if we're not going to deal with it, going to cause some problems. Some major problems, some major messes in our life. And so let's look at this. And again, let's go back now, okay? Let's go back now to Joshua 22 and see kind of what this situation is. So again, as I mentioned earlier, we'll kind of jump around just a little bit in the story. But basically, they've seen this altar, and then they're preparing for war. They're preparing to battle. And so instead of just going straight over and starting killing everybody, thankfully, they do send over some people and say, hey, let's look at this, okay? Like, what's really going on? And let's jump in here and kind of look at some application that we can apply to this story together. Number one, we need to honor one another. Honor one another. Look here at Joshua 22, verse number 19. Joshua 22, verse number 19, this is what it says. Listen, this is interesting. This is great. Now, this is, the people have gone across, okay? The people on the other side, they have not built the altar. They've gone across, and now they're sharing this. And this is what they say. If you need the altar because the land you possess is defiled, then join us in the Lord's land, where the tabernacle of the Lord is situated, and share our land with us. But do not rebel against the Lord or against us by building an altar other than the one true altar of the Lord our God. Isn't this great? Now listen, do you understand what just happened here? They have done something that so many of us as adults are horrible at. They've compromised and shared. So they're coming over. Listen, we don't want you to do this. If you don't understand this quite yet, let me help you. The reason why they're really concerned about this is they feel like this altar is going to be used for idolatry or used in ways that God does not want it used. So they're very concerned about their brothers and their sisters. They don't want them to go down this road. They want to help them go away from this idolatry. And they're like, listen, if it's about this, if it's about that, you know, you don't feel like if the land's defiled, Lord, come over here. Let us help you. Let us come with us. You leave the land. We'll make room for you. They honored them. They didn't go over there basically and start basically shooting arrows. They started going, listen, if this is what the issue is, this is a way out. They honor them. Listen, we can see this again. We talked about this before in other messages in Romans 12:10. It's a great verse. It's a simple verse. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Take delight in honoring each other. You know, when there was misunderstanding, they could have marched across the way, started throwing rocks and spears and swords and all this sort of stuff, and they don't. They're preparing for it, yes, but they go over there first and say, listen, how can we honor these individuals? How can we share the fact that we love them and care for them? And here's the deal about that. Here's the thing that we need to understand. It's very important about that concept. We need to decide today to be people honoring people. You see, what we tend to do is we think that we can wait to be honoring people or people honoring people when the situation arises. And I'm going to tell you, that's difficult for a lot of us to do. Because when emotions are high and miscommunication's gone on and misunderstanding is rampant, it's real hard at that moment to go, nope, I need to honor this person. I need to take a step back. I need to make sure they're okay. That's why I say you need to decide today to do this. You need to decide in this moment, you know what? I am going to be a person. I'm going to be a person honoring person today. So that no matter what happens, no matter what altars people may build in their lives, that I'm still going to honor, care, and love for them, have love for them. Decide that today, okay? In every relationship that you have, decide today, you know what? No matter what happens, I'm going to honor them. In fact, I love what Scripture says. It says, take delight in honoring them. Like some of us do this. I honor you. That's not what Scripture tells us. It says to take delight in it. And just so you know, just so we're clear, for most of us, myself included, we're not going to be able to do that without the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay? I mean, it's easy to honor and take delight in people that are doing the things you want them to do and all that, but when it is not that way, it's hard. We need to honor one another. We need to care for one another. We need to be willing to say, you know what? I understand there may be a misunderstanding here. But the bottom line is I will do whatever I can do within my power to make this right. But Aaron, they're this. Or Aaron, they did that. Delight in honoring. Let the Lord help you in that. But decide today. Number two, and this is a big one. Clarify immediately. Clarify immediately. Look here in Joshua 22. And again, I told you kind of what they did, but let's look at it here in Scripture. So Joshua, 22 verses 13 through 14. It says, first, meaning they're getting ready to go to war here. First, however, they sent a delegation led by Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, to talk with the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. In this delegation were 10 leaders of Israel, one from each of the 10 tribes, and each the head of his family within the clans of Israel. So what happens here? They look over, okay, in the story. They look over, they see this unbelievable altar being built. They are now preparing for war. They are going, man, this is it. We got to take these people out. But before they do that, they do something absolutely crazy. They go, let's go talk about it. Let's send a delegation over. Let's clarify what's going on. Now, what's funny about that is most of us don't want to do that. Once our dander's up, once the swords have been pulled out, once the bows and arrows have been ready to be used, or whatever, the slingshots of the time, it is real hard to now let's have a conversation. We want to go to war. But you know what I found in my own life? Sometimes, all that needs to be done is a little bit of clarification, a little bit of talking. And again, let's remind us, not over text, not over an email. Because sometimes what can happen is you can have that conversation and you go, you know, this happened and I need you to clarify what you meant. Now, here's the thing you need to understand, because I won't lie to you. That thing that maybe you were concerned about may actually be true. But here's the deal. At least before you go to war, you'll know the truth. Because here's what I found in my own life, and I have a feeling it's your life as well. When I begin to clarify with people, things get a lot more clear, and they're usually not nearly what I thought they were. Just truth. I know how many people have come into me and they said, you know, this happened. And here's the deal, like, I welcome this because I don't want you to look at me and have conflict. And here's the deal, you need to understand this. I say a lot of words on a Sunday morning and some of them are not perfect. And if you have a conflict or you hear something and you don't understand it, I'm begging you, come clarify with me. You will not bother me. You will not hurt my feelings. In fact, I welcome it. Why? Because I know even though sometimes I don't say everything perfect, I know my heart. And my heart is one of love and trying to help. And if I said it wrong, listen, I'll tell you right now, I'll look at you and I'll say, I'm sorry. I won't look at you and go, well, you just misheard wrong. What's wrong with you? If I mess it up, I'll own it. Because I want relationship with you and I don't want anything to hinder that. And if you walk out and you're still mad at me, well, that's that. You can be mad at me. But listen, I have seen it over and over and over and over and over again. When things aren't clarified, that little thing, as my grandmother used to say, a mountain got made out of a molehill. And the enemy will look at us and just laugh. You go, man, you took something so itty-bitty and made it into something massive. Why? Because you just wouldn't take the 5 minutes necessary to sit down and say, hey, when you said this, what did you mean? That's basically what they begin to do. They begin to kind of go, listen, we need to clarify this. We need to figure out what is really going on. And for some of us, we are so confrontationally scared or resistant, we will live sometimes literally for decades in a place of hurt, of unforgiveness, of bitterness, of anger, because we simply refuse to have a conversation. And I'm just here to tell you that is not what God has for you. Amen. He has freedom from that for you. He has healing for that from you. And sometimes we just need to have a conversation. But listen, don't wait. I know it may be a little scary, but don't wait. Sometimes the best is to have that conversation and say, you know what, let's talk about this. Back in the illustration at the beginning about the wedding, you know what, there was a lot of things that could have been really figured out and helped if simply the person had just gone to the person and said, listen, I'm a little offended that you didn't show up to the wedding reception. And the person would say, wait a minute, I thought I was, you know, I've told people this so many times. There is very few people in this world, although we're all sinners and we're all got our stuff, there are very few people in the world that wake up every morning, rub their hands together, cackle diabolically, and go, how can I ruin your day today? Whoa. I'm just being honest. Most people, when these things happen, they happen because of misunderstanding. And a little bit of clarification can really go a long way. clarify immediately. So we need to honor one another. We need to clarify immediately. Number three, we need to trust the Lord's protection. We need to trust the Lord's protection. Here, look here at Joshua 22, okay? So 22, starting with verse number 21 and 23. Now we're going to see the response of the altar builders, basically, okay, to kind of help us. So it says, then the people of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered the heads of the clans of Israel. Now remember, they've come and they've basically said, you're rebelling, you're causing all these problems. If you got an issue, come with us. So now they're responding and they say, the Lord, the mighty one is God. The Lord, the mighty one is God. He knows the truth, and may Israel know it too. We have not built the altar in treacherous rebellion against the Lord. If we have done so, do not spare our lives this day. If we have built an altar for ourselves to turn away from the Lord or to offer burnt offerings or grain offerings or peace offerings, may the Lord himself punish us. Whoa, that's interesting. Now remember, these are the people that are going to get, you know, warred on, you know. And they're like, listen, if we're doing, basically they say this, if we're doing the things you say we're doing, God can take us out. God, we will rest in God's understanding and God's protection. We will allow God to be the one who decides. Now, here's what's great about this, okay? Now, you got to catch this because this is easy to miss. Yes, they say God is the one that knows. Yes, they basically say God will protect us because God knows our hearts. But listen to what he says. He says, although God knows these things, he says, he knows the truth. And then it says, and may Israel know it too. You see, for some of us, what we have this idea of, because we are so, conflict averse, is we go, well, God knows the truth. And then we just let people have their own thoughts and their own understandings. And sometimes that can cause a lot of problems in relationships. It's almost like we kind of dig our head into the sand and don't deal with it. Even though we allow and we trust the Lord's protection, it's okay to let other people know what God is doing in us. It's okay to have that clarification. And basically they say this, it's like, listen, if we're doing the wrong thing, God can take us down. But if we aren't doing the wrong thing, God's got us. God's got us. And for some of us, we always forget when it comes to these misunderstandings that ultimately, it's about what God thinks, not what others think. That first, ultimately, we need to understand that at the end of the day, listen, at the end of the day, the Lord must be our vindication, not us. The Lord must be our vindication, not us. But for some of us, we don't trust that. And so we think we have to do certain things and keep things from happening to us and all these types of things. But what I love about this story is these people basically said this. They basically said, listen, this is our heart, and if we're wrong, God will show us. And God basically, obviously, doesn't. You see, for some of us, we live in a world where, because of misunderstandings and conflicts, we've begun to try to fight our own battles instead of letting the Lord vindicate us. Because I'm going to be honest, as a pastor, one of the things I've dealt with is conflict. And I've had times where there's been misunderstandings, and I've had people come and we'll talk and all these sort of things. And just to be honest, at the end of the day, we kind of agree to disagree. You know, and I've been accused of some fun stuff. There's a story that Emily will know about very, very much, where as a youth pastor, I've been there for quite a while, and I'm not going to go into the details, but basically I was pulled out of a youth service, and I had a mother especially and a father there as well just berate me. I mean, just say some of the things that you just would have been like, wow, some very hurtful, very difficult things. And here's the deal, like you always think, you know, oh, I know how I'm going to handle that when that happens. It's not always easy. And if you know me at all, there was some stuff rising up in me that would not have been good. And I remember getting ready to unload. And Em's sitting there, and she's not sitting there. She's out kind of off, but she's watching it from afar. And I can almost feel her getting ready. I mean, it was not going to be pleasant. Not good. And I'm getting ready to go, and I just felt the Lord speak in that just little voice that he does. He said, just be silent. And I mean, I wanted to stop. I literally wanted to say, you need to stop talking for a second so God and I can have an argument now. Just be silent. And I just let it go. I mean, and she went on and went on and went on and went on. And finally, it stopped. Em was not happy with me. She did not like that I sat there. But, you know, at some point, you have to let the Lord vindicate you.
That's right.
Amen. And I know that in that situation, I didn't handle everything perfectly. But I also know that I was nothing close to what I was being betrayed as. And sometimes in life, you just have to let the Lord vindicate you and let the Lord protect you in those moments. Is it easy? Absolutely not. Do we want to lash out? You bet. But sometimes trusting in the Lord's protection is allowing the Lord's vindication to come when He desires it to come. Now, that's not for us a situation where we don't have to deal with the things, because a lot of times in these areas of misunderstanding, God wants to help us to grow and to mature in Him. So we do need to take those moments where we look deep in our own hearts and our own motives and the truth that's there and say, you know, am I really as pure as I want to believe that I am in this area? And allow Him to bring those things out in His with His Holy Spirit to convict us, to bring change and maturity in our lives. But at the end of the day, we trust the Lord to vindicate us. Number four, and this is a big one, because sometimes, in a lot of ways, misunderstanding doesn't always work out. We rest in the Lord's affection. We rest in the Lord's affection. Listen here, Joshua 24, look at verses 20, or 22, verses 24 through 28. This is what it says. The truth is, okay, this is interesting. Listen to this, because we're going to have to break this down. So again, this is the people that built the altar talking. The truth is, we have built this altar because we fear that in the future, your descendants will say to ours, what right do you have to worship the Lord, the God of Israel? The Lord has placed the Jordan River as a barrier between our people and you people of Reuben and Gad. You have no claim to the Lord, so your descendants may prevent us, may prevent our descendants from worshiping the Lord. Let's keep going. So we decided to build the altar, not for burnt offerings or sacrifices, but as a memorial. It will remind our descendants and your descendants that we too have the right to worship the Lord at His sanctuary with our burnt offerings, sacrifices, and peace offerings. Then your descendants will not be able to say to ours, you have no claim to the Lord. If they say this, our descendants can reply, look at this copy of the Lord's altar that our ancestors made. It is not for burnt offerings or sacrifices. Check this out. It is a reminder of the relationship both of us have with the Lord. What a great story. They didn't build it to give sacrifices to. They built it. Why? To be honest, they were kind of afraid. They were afraid that over generations, that basically the people on one side would basically say, you have no right to rest in the relationship and the affection of the Lord. So they say, we're going to build this memorial. So if that happens, we can still claim that we get to worship God. It wasn't an altar. It was simply a copy to show everybody for generations that they could still rest in the Lord. Now, this matters for us in a little different way, because for them, Jesus obviously hadn't come yet. So for them to be able to give sacrifices and peace offerings and grain offerings, this was huge. And they were concerned that they may not be able to express their love, their devotion to God, if they didn't build this as a memorial to remind people. You know, for some of us, things happen, misunderstandings come, And one of the things that we try to do is we try to handle it all on ourselves, fix it all ourselves, instead of basically, as it says here in this verse, I love this, it says to rest in the reminder of the relationship that you have with Jesus. Because here's the dirty little secret. You may clarify, you may do all the things that you need to do, you may do all the things God asks you to do, and somebody that you're talking to may be so hurt or have allowed it to build so much that they still refuse to have any type of relationship with you. You can't force it. And listen, when that happens, if that happens, rest in the Lord's affection. Rest in the fact that He and you have a relationship, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, that He loves you so much that when there was a misunderstanding between humanity and God, He sent Jesus to bring clarity and make it all right again. And we can rest in that. So listen, you need to understand this. When I've misunderstand or I've been misunderstood, I run to the Lord and rest in His affection and what He believes about me. And here's the deal. If you don't know what He believes about you, you need to know He loves you. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for your life. He gave His only begotten Son for the world, yes, but you as in particular. He formed you in your mother's womb. He knows the plans He has for you, and those plans are good. You can rest in those things. And it's such a beautiful thing when we do that. In fact, in a lot of ways, that's what Jesus told us in John when He said to abide in me. We abide in Him. We rest in that security of knowing that He loves us. Knowing that no matter how many misunderstandings may be rolling around in our world, in our life, that He understands us and that we can understand Him. So run to that. And here's the deal. Maybe you go, well, Aaron, I don't have any misunderstandings in my life. Okay, great. That's awesome. That's awesome. You will at some point, but that's great. Hey, do me a favor. Run to His affections now, too. You don't have to wait. Abide in Him now. Experience His goodness and His love for you now. And that can make such a difference. Well, let's conclude the story because obviously we can't just leave it on a cliffhanger here. We can't just let it sit and go, you know, have you wonder, well, how did Joshua 22 end? Was there a war? Did they believe him? Like, what really happened? Well, let's look at it together because it's a beautiful ending. Joshua 22, we're going to look at verses 30 and then jump to verse 33. It says, when Phinehas, the priest, and the leaders of the community, the heads of the clans of the Israelites, heard what Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh had to say, they were pleased. And then they go back to their own people and says they were glad to hear the report, and they praised God. And they talked no more about going to war against them to devastate the country where the Reubenites and the Gadites lived. Now, to close this out, I want us to stop for just a second because there's some important things here about the end of this story that we need to understand, okay? When there's misunderstanding, okay? Because if we fail in this, we can rip up those wounds again and cause even more pain and more damage. So Linda, if you would, keep that verses up there, okay? But again, as we mentioned, they've gone back now, they've believed it, and basically there has been restoration of relationship, okay? There was misunderstanding, there was almost a war, there was clarification, they did all these things, they trusted God's promises and His protection, they rested in His affection, they did all these things, and now the end comes. They go back, and they're pleased. Everything's going well. But here's the thing you need to see here that's very important. They talked no more about going to war against them to devastate the country. You see, what some of us will do is we'll get all that clarity and get it all taken care of, and then we will never let them forget it. Hey, remember that one time? It'll destroy it again and again and again. I've had people come to my office and share those types of things when they'll just be in tears and they'll just be broken. And I thought it was okay. I thought it was fixed. But every time I turn around, I'm reminded of my failure. I'm reminded of my misunderstanding. I'm reminded that I didn't handle it well. You know what Scripture says about your sin? Your misunderstanding with God? It says when God forgives you, He separates as far as the east is from the west. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful picture? What that means is when God looks at you, He doesn't look at you through your sin. He looks at you through the blood of His Son. But yet it's so sad because in the relationship with other image bearers of God, we'll never let it go. We'll say we forgive, we say we forget, or whatever it is, blah, blah, blah. And yet we live a life that is constantly bringing up the mistake. And I know some of you are living under that even today. And unfortunately, as much as I wish I could just say, this is what you do as far as making that person stop, you can't. They get to decide. But in that way, I would really encourage you to remember number 3 and number 4 of our applications this morning, to trust in the Lord's protection and to rest in His affection. But if you are the one that has basically experienced this, listen, I'm just going to tell you right now, as blunt and as honest as I can be, it is time to let it go. It is time. You say, Aaron, you don't know. I don't know. You're right on that. What I'm saying is what God's Word says. And God's Word says you are to forgive because you were forgiven. And forgiveness is not a situation where we necessarily say, I forgive, and then rub it into people's faces every chance we get. You know what that is? That's vengeance. Yes. That's trying to hurt people. And you say, well, I'm not ready to forgive. You know what? That's fair. There are times where forgiveness can be very hard, and it's a process and it's a journey. But when we move into that place, it's time to let it go. Because whether you know it or not, the person you are trying to hurt is really yourself. And I love how this story ends. It doesn't just end with praise, which would be so easy as a pastor to bring on and talk about. It doesn't just end with pleased, which is a great thing too. These aren't bad things. But you know how it really, truly ends? It's let go of. It's released. It's the misunderstanding was put aside so that relationship could truly come and be united and restored in the way God wants it restored. Such a beautiful end of the story. If you would, let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes, and let's close so that we can focus. Because I know for some of you, you are dealing with a monster of misunderstanding in your life. Some of it may have been recent, some of it may have been years or even decades away. And I am telling you, you can walk out of here with a changed heart, a changed mind, and a changed outlook, not because of the words I say, but because of the power of God. He desires to heal you. He desires to bring restoration in your heart, in the heart of others. And for some of you, man, you're hearing this and you're breaking inside because you can go back to an area or a time and you can, you know, you kind of look at it and you go, boy, I wish I had handled that better. I wish I would have said something a little bit different. But you can go back to that day. Some of you, man, you know what you're smelling. You know what you're seeing. You know where you're seated. You know that moment where that misunderstanding took place. And it has caused destruction and a mess in your life. And that's a monster in your closet that is pretty big. And I'm just here to tell you that God wants to bring healing. He wants you to rest in His affection. He wants you to trust His protection. He wants you to allow yourself to experience the healing that he has for you. For some of you, it's maybe you were the one that felt offended. You were the one that, you know, in the story at the very beginning, you were the one who invited the person, they didn't show up. And you've sat maybe for 30 minutes, maybe for 30 years, and you haven't dealt with it. And you've allowed it just to eat you up from the inside out. How could they do that? How could they say that? How could they experience who I am and treat me that way? Whatever it is. And for you, God wants to bring healing. You see, for some of these things, it's very difficult because that person that there was misunderstanding with is no longer here on this earth. What do you do then? You trust the Lord's protection and you rest in his affection. You let him still bring the healing that he can do. And here's the deal. I mean, we could be here for the next 3 days talking about every possible situation and circumstance that would bring these things about. But the bottom line is this. I truly believe God is already speaking to your heart. You know. You know that if you are dealing with the monster of misunderstanding, whether it's as the recipient or the communicator. And here's the deal. For some of you, it is massive, massive stuff. And I'm never here to belittle your pain or what you're dealing with. What I am here to do is to remind you that no matter how big it is, our God is bigger. No matter what the situation is, the healing can be complete. No matter how deep down the pain has been pushed, he can pull it up and restore it. Listen, our Jesus can speak to a dead thing and bring it back to life. He can handle you without any problem, without any issue, without breaking a sweat. He is that big, that strong, that powerful. And he loves you so much that he wants to use those powers to bring healing and restoration in your life. But some of you, man, you for years try to push that monster back in the closet, but you always know it's there. You know about that misunderstanding you had with your mom 30 years ago that's always still been kind of there, and maybe it's kind of been pushed aside a little bit, but you just know it's there. You know, God wants to bring complete healing in that situation. For some of you, maybe it's with a child, and you know, you were just trying to help, but maybe they took it as you were being overprotective and didn't let them grow up and all these things, and it's really caused a split in your relationship. Yeah, maybe they still come over for Thanksgiving, but it's just not the way it was. You know, God wants to bring restoration to that. God wants to do a work in that. But it may take you making a phone call or sitting down across with a cup of coffee and saying, you know, son, you know, daughter, I know that when this happened, you maybe saw it as this, and I don't know if I'm sure I didn't handle it perfectly, but I want you to know it was there because I loved you. And I'm sorry if I didn't communicate that clearly to you, but I don't want there to be any conflict in our relationship. I want us to have a relationship that's thriving and growing. For some of you, it may be between a husband and a wife. Something happened. Something was misunderstood. Now, maybe it was real clear. I don't know. But the bottom line is that our God can heal it if you'll let him. And he will restore if you'll let him. And that misunderstanding, even that completely understanding, if that makes sense, God can do a work in. And God wants to do a work in. So if that's you, and I know there's lots of stuff here, and I'm just going to trust that the Lord is speaking individually to you. The Holy Spirit is just kind of turning that flashlight on that area. But I'm telling you, if you'll bring it to the Lord this morning, God wants to do a work. God wants to change your heart, make it more like His, and bring a healing and a restoration that only He can bring. So will you pray with me as I pray for you, as we look at these things together? Father, we love you and we thank you. And God, with this monster of misunderstanding, it can seem kind of small until it happens to us. And then it can cause so much damage, so much carnage, so much conflict in our lives. And sometimes we kind of almost sit there and we don't even know what's happened. All of a sudden we just look and the relationship that maybe was thriving is absolutely in turmoil. And one of the hard things about misunderstanding is we don't always know what we did or what was said or how we communicated. We think everything's fine, but everything really is being destroyed. And so, Father, I pray that no matter where we're at in this area, no matter if we're the communicator or the recipient or things have happened or what, there's too much, God, you know. God, I pray that right now, God, as people bring this to you, that God, you would begin to heal hearts. You would begin to change minds. You would begin to do the work that only you can do in us and through us. God, for some of us, as we said, maybe this has already taken place, but man, every chance we get, whether it's kind of passive aggressive or just right out, in the, we always are making sure people remember that misunderstanding. And Father, I pray that those individuals would finally release it and give it to you and let you bring full healing into their hearts and their lives. God, there's so much here, and I can't go through it all, but God, I trust that right now, as people are opening their hearts to you, that you are doing a work inside them and through them. Change us, God. Make us more like you. And God, I pray that even though the enemy has meant misunderstandings to kill, steal, and destroy, that God, as we look to you, you will bring life and life in the abundance to every relationship, every marriage, every friendship, every situation. Help us, God. We love you and we thank you. You're so good. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now listen, I know that when we have kind of a talk about these sort of things, there can be some pretty deep things. And so I'm going to dismiss everybody in just a minute, and I'm going to kind of go down here. If you would like some personal prayer, I want to be here for that, okay? So I'm going to hang out here in the front. If you need to pray about maybe something specific or you want somebody to agree with you, I'll be up here to do that, okay? Also, just a reminder, remember, youth is tonight. Ladies book group is meeting on Thursday. I want to make sure that you're aware of that. For those that are online, we love you. We miss you. We hope you're well. For those that are here, again, thank you so much for being here. I hope you have a great week. And again, if you need prayer, I'll be here in the front. Love you.